Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 2 and down to verse 23. Romans 2, 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one what? Outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one what? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of what? The heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we think about this here. A lot of the Jewish people thought, and we're talking about the Jewish men now, the leaders, thought that they were okay with God because they were circumcised on the eighth day, as the law commanded in the Old Testament. So they're trusting in their circumcision that we're okay, trusting in that, well, we're Jews. So they were trusting in their family lineage. They were trusting in the rite of circumcision, rite spelled R-I-T-E. And so we come to Nicodemus. Let's go to John chapter 3. And so the Lord has to deal with him about this here. There needs to be born again. So Jews trusting in their family line. And of course, we can transfer that today too. There are people that, well, sometimes people even would say they're a Christian because they're an American. Well, that certainly doesn't mean anything. Our country is so wicked right now. I was thinking and praying this morning, and just the matter of abortion alone. As was prayed, Brother Steve prayed about, and Brother Barry too, about God's patience. He is certainly patient, isn't he? You think of America, I mean, a nation that slaughters their unborn babies. I mean, how much more innocent people can you kill than that? It's hard to imagine how many babies. It's been quite a while since I've read, but this has been several years ago. It's been over 40 million estimated that had been killed. So, no, we're not Christian because we're American. We're more and more corrupt, as America said to say. But in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what?
Born again.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking physical terms. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what?
Water.
And of what?
The Spirit.
He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
And that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Jesus is trying to illustrate it. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to quit trusting in your family line. And there are many people that do that. They, I'm from a good family. we're okay. They don't understand the concept of sin, the fall of mankind. They do not understand it. So there are many people today that look at baptism in the same way as the Jews looked at circumcision. The Jews, many of them were trusting in their circumcision. Okay, this is the seal that I'm okay. I've been circumcised. I'm going to heaven. Romans chapter 2, if we go back there for a moment. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one what? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of what? The heart. In the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we're talking about circumcision of the heart. So that's what they didn't have. Nicodemus was not born again. That's what he needed. He needed to be born again. So now there are denominations today, many denominations, that baptize babies. And some of those denominations may say, well, no, this doesn't necessarily mean that this baby is going to heaven. And others would say that it does mean it, that it washes away original sin. Whatever the official position of the denomination is, one huge factor in it is that it's giving people a false hope. I could not tell you how many people I've asked before, are you saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? And the first thing they say is, I've been baptized. Normally, whatever they're trusting in is what they first say. If you say, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, well, I think I've been pretty good. That's what they're trusting in. They're trusting in their good works. If you say, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? And they say, I've been baptized. No doubt, that's the thing that came to their mind. They're trusting in that baptism. My wife was baptized as a baby. I didn't even know it for many years. Her parents were not saved at that time. They didn't know any better. And so they just thought, well, need to take the children to the Methodist church. That was it, Methodist church, and baptize them. And in those unsaved parents' minds, in their minds it was, okay, it's making our children safe, you know, before God, going to go to heaven someday. Not the case. And my wife actually got saved when she was 9 years old. But let's look at Acts 16. What does the Bible say about this? So it's not just the Jews that were trusting in circumcision. There are a lot of people today all across the world that are trusting in their baptism to have saved them. And by the way, there are other denominations. We just read about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. There are other denominations that clearly say that when you're baptized, that's when you're born again. The Lutheran Church would say that it's baptism is the means of grace. So when they baptize a Lutheran, they're looking at, well, it's that baptism is how the grace is received into that person. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. We're going to see that right here. In Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now notice just with her, she was worshiping God. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was worshiping God, but he wasn't saved. He was seeking God. Same with Lydia. She was seeking God, but was not saved yet until this point. So she worshiped God, heard us, whose what the Lord opened? Whose heart. Remember, we already read that in Romans chapter 2. Circumcision is of the heart. I mean, that's the saving thing, is what takes place in the heart. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was what? Baptized. Why is it, We'll get to this in a minute. But why is it that so often today baptism is delayed? I think it's because we have to take the blame. We really are not thorough when we're explaining the gospel to someone. We kind of hold that back, and I'm afraid we kind of hold that back because we're afraid if we lay this baptism thing on them that it'll scare them away. They won't want to receive the Lord. And that's to our shame, because in the Bible, many times they were baptized the same day, like right here. Sometimes the same hour, as we'll see. With Paul, 3 days later. His was kind of an exceptional instance. He was blind, and certain things had to take place in his life. But in verse 15, when she was baptized, and what?
Her household.
She besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household. Now, the denominations that baptize babies say, let's say, well, in the scripture, whole families were saved or whole families were baptized. So they're saying, well, there had to be babies amongst that. How many of you have a baby in your home? Let's see. That's pretty vague, isn't it? How many have a child in your home 2 years or under? Okay, one. Okay, so if we were to say that we got saved and our whole house, like Lydia, how many babies are we talking here? Well, right now, one family would have a baby. So to assume that Lydia had any babies in her household, or maybe I should qualify that even further. How many of you have a child in your home? It varies on ages of little children. When little children are trained up faithfully in God's house and with God-fearing parents, Christian parents, many times little children can get saved 5 or 6. I've even heard of some at 4. I was saved at 6 years of age, and I can safely say that I understood the gospel quite some time before I actually asked the Lord to save me, because I can remember that. So how many of you have children in your home 5 or under? Okay, all right. So a couple families. So even with this group here, and I realize there's other families represented in other classrooms right now. So amongst us, though, there's really not that many little children that are like under the level of understanding that's represented here. So in verse 15, it said when she, Lydia, was baptized and her household. So you can see just by our polling here that for them to assume Lydia had a little child that was below the age of understanding, is assuming too much. That shouldn't be assumed at all. It doesn't say that she was there with her baby. It doesn't say that. So let's go to Acts chapter 8 then. Acts chapter 8. Now, we don't assume something. It's not mentioned, and especially when the scripture forbids what we are trying to assume. So in Acts chapter 8, let's start in verse 26. Acts 8:26. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So the eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. That's important to remember. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, isn't it sad that this eunuch is leaving Jerusalem? And why did he go to Jerusalem, verse 27? For what? To worship. He's coming and he's confused. He does not understand the scriptures. And verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his what? His life is taken from the earth. So this one dies. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at what?
The same scripture.
You see, these scriptures prophesy about Christ. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him what?
Jesus.
So out of the Old Testament, out of Isaiah, Philip gets right at that passage and preaches, it's Jesus. And remember what it said in verse 33, that his what would be taken from the earth? His life. So he preached unto him Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins. Now notice verse 36 then, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be what?
Baptized.
Now, obviously, we're not told the whole conversation that goes on. It's summarized for us. But obviously, Philip was giving the eunuch the information about baptism. If you hold your place here and turn to me to Matthew chapter 28, there are a lot of witnessing plans that really say, do not deal with baptism when you're talking to someone about salvation for fear that they will think baptism washes away your sins. Well, if we explain that it doesn't, if we explain what baptism means, they will not be confused. In Matthew 28, verse 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and what?
Teach
all nations. Then what?
Baptizing
them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So in verse 19, it tells to teach all nations and then to baptize them. And then in verse 20, to continue to teach them. So on that thought, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. So the eunuch is asking here, verse 36, the last part of it, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, what's interesting as well is that he didn't say as they were just traveling along, hey, break out your canteen, Philip, and baptize me. Many churches just sprinkle water on someone. They call that baptism. It isn't what the word means. The word baptize means to place under. It doesn't fulfill the meaning of the word. But it's interesting, the eunuch doesn't ask Philip to do that. Now, I'm sure if they're out in the desert, I'm sure they had water with them in a container. He doesn't ask him to do that. He doesn't ask him to pour. There are some denominations that give the choice to pour water over, not sprinkle, but pour water on them, and they call that baptism. That's not what was done. It wouldn't require a body of water. But in verse 36, when they come to a certain water, that's when the eunuch said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, this is one of the important illustrations of how important it is which translation of the Bible you use. Because the NIV in verse 37 leaves verse 37 right out. And I haven't checked with the latest edition of the NIV, whether they kept it out or not, but in the original one, it was gone. So verse 37, sometimes people say it doesn't matter what translation of the Bible you use. Well, this part is extremely important. And if you go back and study, we have some Bible courses on the topic of the New International Version. But if you go back and look at the different denominations that were represented in the translation committee that produced the NIV, the New International Version, you will understand why they didn't want verse 37 in there. Because it says, and Philip said, if thou what? If thou believest with what?
All thine heart.
All thine heart. Isn't it interesting how often we've seen it? Romans 2. It's with the heart. The passage we just saw about Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. Now with Philip and the eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart. Some people are trying to define repentance as just a change of mind. Well, if you're dealing with just a change of mind, there are a lot of people that change their mind often. Salvation is a matter of the heart. If you hold your place here, go with me to Romans 10. It's a matter of the heart. It's not just thoughts in the mind. It's a decision of the heart. In Romans 10, 9, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, what? In thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what?
Saved.
For with, what? The heart, man, what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, why would they, if it's a decision from the heart? Well, decisions from our heart we normally defend. We normally are not embarrassed about the decisions of our heart. We are assured about the decisions from our heart. And for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm afraid sometimes we just are dealing with people's minds. We were able to go through the gospel yesterday with an elderly lady, and she would have been one real easy to just get to say a prayer. But it has to be from the heart. You know, if we really see our sinful need, and if we really see that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. If we really see our condition, we're lost, we're condemned, and if we really see the Savior, the heart will respond and say, "What must I do to be saved? I want to be saved." And here, if we go back to Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Well, what are we talking about? Let's refresh our memory from verse 36. Remember the last part there, sentence of verse 36 phrase. It says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Mayest what? Mayest what? Be baptized. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I what?
Believe.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So verse 37 is missing. So in that NIV, if you're reading, and of course they're going to word it different, but you'd read verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So reading that, you'd have to skip verse 37 and start with verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he what? Baptize him. So in the NIV, you have verse 36, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 38, well, nothing hinders you to be baptized. Just let's do it. Well, that's not true. Verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So the NIV takes out the requirement for baptism. The requirement for baptism is you have to be saved what? First. You've got to be saved first, and then you can be baptized. It takes that requirement out, and then it takes the eunuch's confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So if baptism is explained, go to Romans chapter 6. So talking about baptism also clarifies what repentance really entails. What it really means to become a Christian. So in Romans 6, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live what?
Any longer therein.
So you see, when I'm going through the gospel with someone and I talk about baptism, then I'm saying, you know, and when we get saved, the next command of God is to get baptized. And what does baptism mean? Well, it's that idea, verse 2, you know what? If we're dead to sin, if Christ has saved us, then how shall we live any longer therein? That is, in a life of sin. Verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him," what?
By baptism
"into death, that what?
Like as Christ."
So this, once again, baptism is not saving. It's a picture. It says that like as Christ was what?
Raised up from the dead
by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in what?
Newness.
So it's a picture. Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the grave. So we are placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins, his blood which washes away our sins. So when we get baptized, it's a picture of the decision we just made in our hearts. Death to the old life of sin, resurrection. When we come up out of the water of baptism, it pictures a new life serving Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's going to help weed out the ones, really, that would take a free insurance policy to go to heaven but have no intentions of serving Christ. You know what's interesting? We're going to do another study sometime, but you know, people talk about lordship salvation, and obviously we are so far from perfect. But the word Lord means master. And what's interesting, we're in Romans here. Let's go to chapter 10 there again. Romans 10. And verse 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who?
The Lord Jesus.
What's the first name listed?
Lord.
Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. Matthew 1:21. So we're telling them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of who?
The Lord
shall be saved. So, you know, these are just things to explain to people because there are just a lot of people that just, they have, They have no intentions of turning from their sin to God. They have no intentions of living for God. My wife and I, years ago, in my own ignorance, I was taught to do these soul-winning plans that really don't deal in depth with anything. And so, you know, gave her the quick Romans Road gospel presentation, then taught to, okay, let's pray. In the middle of your prayer, you stop and say, now, would you like to get saved? She said, sure. So she prayed. She even shed tears. And then so we're done, and my wife and I are happy, and talked to her about going to church. She immediately said, I could never go to church. It reminds me of a great, great, well-known soul winner and telling about his experiences. And he was one that really pushed this plan. And so he's at the door, leads a woman in a quick gospel presentation, and she prays the prayer. And then when they're done, she says, let's celebrate. I'll go get the champagne. Uh-oh. That wasn't the response, I would assume, from a new Christian to go break out the alcohol. So I think it's our own fault. So if we go back to Acts chapter 8, we want everything instant. We want instant potatoes. We don't want to peel the potatoes. We don't want to boil them. We don't want to mash them. We want instant oatmeal variety. We don't want to wait to have to cook it. We want instant rice. We don't want to have to cook it a long time. We want everything instant. People get mad at the drive-through if it isn't ready, you know, if they have to wait. So, in verse 38, Acts 8, 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So, what is baptism? Baptism is a picture. You know, many times people make a profession of faith and then they're required to go through a whole series of classes before they'll get baptized, before the church will let them get baptized. Should baptism be more complex than salvation? No. Salvation is so simple that the Lord says a little child can understand it. Okay, if a little child can understand how to be saved, can't a little child understand about, you know what, when we go under the water, pictures death, the old life of sin. When we come up out of the water, pictures a new life in Christ. We're going to live for God. I think that's pretty simple. I think all the other doctrinal things would fall into line if we just make sure we really give a true and honest presentation of the gospel. And we're not out there to make them think baptism will save them. We're talking about this right now to show those people that the Jews, their mistake was thinking that circumcision saved them. And we're talking about the problem of many denominations teaching their people that baptism saves them. We're talking about that's an error. But what better time to explain that than right where we're talking to them about Jesus? So, you know, we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. What does that mean? Lord, Master, Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Anointed One. What does that mean? We look in the Scriptures. Christ means Messiah. We read Isaiah 9:6, why the Messiah is going to be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. There's where we teach them Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. He came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth to be born, live a perfect life, and die on the cross for our sins. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can make the payment. So, well, we're past time here. We need to close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, please help us. Lord, help us to be thorough. It's the most important decision that a person will ever make, that of salvation, being saved. So Lord, help us to make it clear. Help us to not give people a false hope. And on the other hand, Lord, help us not to make them believe in something false, like to believe that their works will save them or believe that their baptism will save them. Lord, help us to make the message clear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service.